Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. New normal. That's been the series that we've been in, New Normal, with the key verse. This is the key verse. We should all know it by heart now. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. And what happens because we are a new creation, a new creature, what does that mean? It goes on to say, the old has passed, and behold, all has become new. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old things have passed. Behold, all things are new. You're new today? Yes. New normal. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. And when you accept him into your life, you get born again. You have a new normal. And this is the new normal. Hannah started out a few weeks ago. In week one, there was a new starting point. Where do you start your day? Where are your relationships? What is the new normal for your relationships? Then on Mother's Day, there was a new normal. How we could see these mothers of the Bible interact with God. There's a new normal. Then there was behold, 2 weeks of beholding the God, beholding Jesus, because it is very important. To experience God is stronger than any other experience that you have in your life. We can behold Jesus in the battle more than the enemy. What are you beholding? That's what we went over the last couple of weeks. And today, I want to talk to you about something a little different than that. It's still a new normal. There's new things because we're new creations in Christ. But today's message is called, No More Doubting, Stand in Confidence. We can stand confidently in the new normal, the new life that we are in him. Because he's created us anew. He's not taking old things and making them new. You are a new creation. You are new. And today's key verse is Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Did you hear that? Jesus came up to them and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. Underline that word authority, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. Authority. The Greek word is exousia. Exousia. It means to have power, to have weight, value, or importance, or influence. Part of the new normal is walking confidently in the authority of Jesus. So when he said this, we can stand confidently that he has all authority on heaven and on earth. And we can stand confident in that. We can stand confidently in that wherever and however he has given you the authority in an area of your life. And he gives us this authority to draw others to himself. If you could, please turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be in two places in the Bible today. I hope it doesn't tax you. We're going to be in two places, Matthew 28, and then we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. But if you could turn to Matthew 28, who's going to win? Who's going to get there first? I don't know. Who there? Oh, Matthew 28, verse 16. That's why you guys couldn't win. I didn't tell you where to go. We're going to go from 16 to 20. It's going to be powerful. I was reading this a few weeks ago as we were starting the message New Normal, and I really felt strongly about it, and I was just like super excited, and I was thinking, man, when am I going to get to preach on this? Because I was like, I was feeling the feels with it right there at the beginning of the series. So I was thinking, maybe Hannah's going to preach one week and I'm going to get it the next week, because I'm like into it, bro. And all of a sudden, she's like, no, I'm going to do this week, then I'm going to do the week after that, then I'm going to do the week after that. And then I'm going to do it a week after that. And then Monday, I was in here, and she's like, guess what, Caleb? You're going to preach, not this weekend, but next weekend. But 4 hours later, something happened that made this possible. I'm thinking to myself how grateful I am, because I was in the building. Then I got to go home early because it was Memorial Day. Then Nat got a call, says, I think my water broke. And I'm like, does that happen so early? She's like, yeah, it does. Good thing I wasn't there. I'd have been changed, man. I would have experienced it all. That's all Brian's enhancing. So I'm like, so I'm super excited about preaching this message. I'm like, yes, this is going to be awesome. And I'm reading Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. And this is where I get it. It says, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Remember, just a little while earlier, he said, go there and I will meet you guys there. So this is where he goes. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. So it's like, yes, he's worshiping him. But some were doubtful. That really stuck out to me. That's what really stuck out to me. I remember a few years ago, I did this evangelism trip down to Harlem in New York City. And the preacher there, we were to get ready. We had to go through some classes before we could hit the streets. And he read this message. And I'd read it a bunch of times beforehand, but it really stuck to me. He's like, when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world could they be doubtful? They experienced him in the flesh. They experienced him after he rose again. They experienced him as new and resurrected. And yet they were there to worship him, and they doubted. Wow. And as I'm thinking about that, I was like, God, man, I don't think I would doubt. I mean, Jesus is there and he's standing and they're worshiping him. How could they have doubted? And then I remember the experiences in my life where if I've experienced God's power, I have seen God do great and mighty things in people's life, in my life. I've seen people healed of cancer. I've seen people delivered of demons. I've seen people do a lot. And the greatest miracle of all, people get born again in Jesus. I see it all the time. But there are times when I still doubt what he's going to do. And it's like, wait a minute, how could you doubt when you've seen so much? Maybe that's what they're saying. They've seen so much. And he's going to do great and mighty things. And Jesus answers them this way. Some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them this very thing, saying, all authority has been given to me and in heaven and on earth. He says, you're doubting, but I'm telling you, all authority has been given to me. He says, guess what? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Some of you need to hear that this morning. I am with you always, even until the end of the age. He's with you. He is with you. Even when you were doubting, all that he has done, and you still have a point of doubt, he's saying, guess what? I have all authority on heaven and on earth. And guess what? Know what you're going to do? Even though you have doubted, you're going to go to the earth, and you're going to show them who I am, and you're going to lead people to him. And you're going to baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you're going to teach everything that he has taught you. And the greatest thing of all, I'm with you always. He is with you always. And we've got things to do. Today, I want to talk to you about authority. The authority we have in him to draw others to himself. He uses us in great and awesome ways. In this, we see that there were people who had doubted him. Even after spending weeks with Jesus, he had risen to life and come back to spend time with the disciples, teaching them and showing what this new life, this new normal was like. But people still doubted. And the first thing he did is to tell them about his authority and that he would be with them forever. This was one of the last things that Jesus told his people while he was on the earth, because he was about to go up and be with the Father. So just think of how important that is. Some of the last things people say to each other before they might not speak to each other for a very long time, like a family member who lives on the other side of the continent or whatever. Your parting words are important words. And this was important because he was about to go to be with the Father. Lo, I am with you always. He has changed us to be a new normal, to live out the mission he has sent us on, to live out the gospel and to lead others to him. Basically, Jesus said, I have a mission for you. You will be able to do it because I have been given all authority. Trust in me and do not be afraid. Authority, a power, a weight, a value, an influence. Where are the areas of your life, and where are the positions of your life where you carry a godly authority? Where do you stand that you know you stand in this place of authority? What areas of your life? For me, some of my story, some of my power, my authority that's been given to me through Jesus is to stand here, to do this. God has given me a power. He's given me a value so people will listen to what I say in a supernatural way. You know, like, you know, talking about babies, you know, no one would come to me and ask on my authority on baby showers. I don't know anything about them. I was just asking that the other day. I go, what happens when the baby be born before the baby shower? Is there like a thing for that? Huh? Well, not this time, Hannah. Not this time, Brian. Not a scandal. Oh. Oh. I thought you... Never mind that. It was a scramble. I heard it wrong. I can just hear Hannah now. Brian! What has he done? I didn't do anything wrong, Hannah. I was just trying to repeat an awesome, innocent thing from Pat. So if you have any problems, she's over there. No, I don't know that much about baby showers, so I wouldn't be the one to ask how to do that. But I do know this because God has given me an anointing and an authority to stand up here and do what I'm doing now. But I do have to be honest with you. Sometimes I question it in a little bit because I know, because when I look at other people who do what I'm doing now, I feel they do it better than me. And no matter what we do, we always, whether we say we don't or we do, we compare ourselves to other people. You know, like, he's a better accountant than me. I know that I'm a great accountant. God's given me the ability to be an accountant, but I know so-and-so is just so much better. And like for me, because when I was really getting into this a few years ago, I would listen to all the pastors I could. I'd listen to all the sermons I could. I'd spend hours and hours every day just listening to sermons every day. And then when I got to preach, I noticed that I would start to sound like the people I was listening to. Great in some ways, but not great in all ways, because God has given me a voice. He's given me the way I speak. He's given me the way I look and my intonations and how I do things. So it's not that I don't listen to sermons anymore, but I listen to them a lot less because I needed to develop my own voice that he has given me. So the power and the weight that you see me doing here, not that it's anything, Caleb's so great, that's not it. You'll find that the more authority that you respond to is the more of the surrender of your life that you give to Jesus. So the more that I'm expressing who God truly made me to be is me surrendering to Caleb the most that I could. Because the Caleb that I used to be would never be able to stand in front of you and talk. Definitely wouldn't be able to stand in front of you and read anything. I might have been able to tell a joke or two, but never would I have been able to read in front of anybody. This is all him. This is a weight and authority he has given to me. And I could doubt, and there has been some doubting. But Jesus says, no, all authority has been given unto me on heaven and on the earth. So in these times of doubt, we've got to stand in that. Where is your weight? Where is your authority? Where is your godly influence in your lives? If you could turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 9. We see here Saul, as he's becoming Paul. What do we know from this chapter? This is where Saul, gets converted. He's on his way to Damascus. He's been given authority by humans to go do some bad things, and he's about to receive some authority from God and change the world. Did you hear that? He had been given authority by humans, by the Pharisees at the time, to go from Jerusalem and to go to Damascus. To do what? To find out those who were of the way and to bring them to Jerusalem in chains. That's what he was going to do, and he was bent on doing it. He was on his horse, got knocked off. God encountered him. Changed him. Got to Damascus, and Ananias was given a vision to go see Saul on a street called Straight. And he was told what he was about to do. For Ananias was to tell him that there was much suffering for Jesus' namesake. So Ananias did it. He went, Saul, born again. Scales fell off his eyes. Now, this is what I want to talk about. Verse 19, midway, in chapter 9. This is Paul living out the new normal, his new authority in him. It says, for several days, he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. So this guy who just before was coming to get after those people, he is now has new normal because of his encounter with God, the authority he's been given. He's now saying that Jesus is the Son of God. Wow. And all those hearing him continued to be amazed. There's a supernatural influence when you're walking in the authority God has given you, because all of a sudden people will see it in a different way. It's on a spiritual level, not just on a human level. So you'll have an influence over people that is supernatural because it's God in you going out to the world. All those hearing him continue to be amazed and were saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name? Is it not him who was destroying the church? Is this not Caleb who I saw 20 years ago get drunk, lay on the floor, and lick the beer out of the carpet? Because that happened. Is this not him who was doing that? You wouldn't have listened to me back then. But you listen now. There's a new normal for me. There's a new authority that I have. And it's not because I'm anything great or special. It's because he is great and special. And he too is doing it in your life when you look for it in the areas that you have influence over. Who called on his name, who came here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests. But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounded the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Saul kept increasing in his authority. He had kept increasing in his influence because he was walking in the authority that God had given him. Are you walking in the authority that God has given you? What does this mean? What does this look like? And what could shake your confidence in the authority that God has given you? Sometimes, when you know you're supposed to walk in something, a new position, a new relationship, a new something, a new season, like Pat was talking about earlier, and even me here too sometimes. The thing that can shake our confidence is when you think about your past. Man, if you guys only knew what was happening back then, you wouldn't look at me the same way. If you've only known the mistakes, sometimes mistakes can sideline us. We look at others' success at what we're doing. You know, like, I could look at, you know, name the big-time pastor that's got the mega church somewhere, that's got all these people flocking to him every week. It doesn't matter who, we just know that there are. I could look at that and say, man, we don't have 20,000 people coming into the thing today. I guess I'm just not as good as so-and-so. That could shake your confidence. And it doesn't even have to be something involved in the church. This is a holy calling. But if whatever you're doing is a holy calling as well, that's your mission field. That's where God has given you authority, no matter what it is, whether it's a nurse or a janitor. I mow lawns. Whatever it is, wherever he has called you, be confident in the authority he has given you, the influence over the others that are around you. And sometimes when we compare ourselves to others, our confidence will shrink. He doesn't want that. And if there's lack of clarity in where you're supposed to be, if you're not sure where you're supposed to be, you could lack confidence in the authority he has given you. Sometimes we get jobs and it's a blessing for the moment, for a season. And it's a great thing to have, and we're supposed to walk in that and have authority in it. But after a while, sometimes there's a new season in your life that you're not doing that anymore, but you continue to do it because You're just like, man, I don't know if I can leave this. I don't know if I can do this. I have a heart for this. I have a heart to be somewhere else right now, but I don't know if I should do it. I don't know if I should go there. And I'm not saying if you don't like your job, leave your job. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying, Hannah. I'm saying sometimes God puts or allows things in our lives that causes us to not love something as much as we once did, because we're supposed to move on to a new season. But if we're always looking back at the old season and never looking to a new one because we think we're not worthy of a new one, or having a job that we love, we just have to have this thing because it provides and this is where it is and it has sustained us so far. But God is like, wait a minute, that was for you for a time. Go get godly counsel. Maybe I'm moving you to a new place. I'm not saying quit your job tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying sometimes we have things in our lives that ask us to question whether the direction that we're going is the direction he still wants us to go. He had a blessing for it. He had an authority for it. He had an influence for it for a while. But now he wants you to get godly counsel to make sure you get good information that, okay, it may be time for me to step forward into a new thing because I'm in a new season. Clarity of area and influence. If you're not clear, you might not have confidence, and you might be in a new season. And this authority, this influence, is different for everybody. And little babies that are awesome. She's cool. No, she's fine. Yeah, she's fine. The authority can look different for, because it does look different for all of us. And there's some unique places of authority that God has given people in the past. This one person in particular that I thought about for this weekend, his name is Eric Little. You may have heard of him before. There's a small movie called Chariots of Fire. It won an Academy Award back in 1982. I won't go into how long ago that was, because that's the year I was born. But yes, this guy was a true thing. Chariots of Fire was a true movie. It was a true, based on true events, based on a guy named Eric Little. And he ran for God. He ran for God. You may think, well, running is simple and running is a sport. How could that be running? How could that? His running influenced others to be drawn to Christ. That's how God used him and his authority. And you may be saying, well, that's an unusual authority God has given him. You may have an unusual authority as well. It was 1924 at the Olympics. He was the best in the world at the 100-meter dash, the best. He was great, and they all knew he would win the gold if he ran. And he ran the trials and got there for Great Britain. But when he got to Paris, they said that the 100 meters was on a Sunday. And Eric's like, I can't run. They're like, you're not injured, bro. He's like, no, it's Sunday. It's the Sabbath day. I cannot run. What do you mean, Eric? You can't run. You're the best. Great Britain wants you to win the gold. I can't run. It's a Sunday. I can't run. Not only did he leave the 100-meter dash, he also left the 4x4 and another relay team. So because he couldn't run, three other people lost out on their gold chances. Imagine the pressure that is. Your country is looking to you to be the best. Your teammates are looking for you to run with them so they can be the best. But he refused. He said, no, it is on a Sunday. I cannot run. And he stood in that because he knew he had authority in there. And because he did that, just think of all the people that heard his story and his devotion to God and how that led them to Christ, which is the bigger goal in life than winning some gold medal that nobody will remember 5 years from now. The gold medal winner of last year's 2024 Olympics in Paris, could you guys tell me who won the 100 meters? No. Something unforgettable is now rememberable throughout eternity because he stood in the authority God gave him. Not only did he stand faithful that, he was given another shot to run the 400 meters because it was on another day. He was faithful and won gold. He was faithful in that authority, an unusual authority God gave him, and it made him even more authoritative and influence later on in his life when he was a missionary in China. During World War II, he was in a part of China that was invaded by the Japanese, and God used him in a mighty way in the camp that he was put in to lead others to Christ, show others the way of God, where he lived and died, but he lived for Christ. He ran for Christ. Where is your influence? Nothing is too unusual for him, but do you see what it is? That's the most important thing. Where do you hold the influence? Where do you hold the authority? One of the first places that you can and do have authority is in your mind. To hold every thought captive to Christ. To be changed in your mind is the first place where God has given you authority. And you'll find as you grow in your confidence in him, you'll start to grow in your authority and influence in other places. Do you have an authority and influence in your home? Where your values and ideas are respected because you act humbly before your wife or your husband as you raise your children to God and to lead him to Christ. At your job, do you have an influence there where others see your character and how you love the Lord so they too can want what you have and lead them to Christ? Do you have an influence and authority with your friends? So they see him in you and are drawn closer to him. You have to know whose you are to know who you are. When you know you're his, he'll revere who you are. And once you get that confidently, you can start to stand in your identity and your authority so you can lead others to him. We walk in confidence when we get to know him better as our faith grows. There are going to be times when you think you need to take a step, that step by faith. I know I'm supposed to be here. I know I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to step in faith right now and walk it out. If he has called you, he will make a way. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Because it is him who is in you who is doing it. It is him who is in you who is giving you the confidence. It is him who is in you who is giving you the authority to do what he's asked you to do. And he is faithful, and he will do it. In Hebrews 13:6, it says, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will men do to me? You can confidently stand in the authority God has given you. Awesome. Amen. Amen. And as you stand, as we end, as we come to the time, God is good. all the time. And all the time, God is good. Father God, we just thank you for today's message. And we thank you that we get to walk in the authority that you have given us because you have the authority in heaven and on earth. And God, we are just praying right now for a clarity in our own lives where we have this authority at our jobs, at our homes, in the churches that we, this church that we attend, in our friends, in our workplaces. God, we just thank you that people today are calling upon your name to be saved, Father God, to know whose they are, to know who they are. And if that's you this morning, with your head bowed, call upon his name, Jesus. It says in his word, if you call upon the name of the Lord, his name is Jesus, you will be saved. And then you'll be having a new normal life. You will be a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things will pass away, and behold, new things will come. Thank you, Lord, for that. And God, I just thank you for those who did raise their hand, Father God, for those who take that next step in the Lord. And if you did today, please come and get a hold of me, get a hold of any other pastors here. Don't keep that a secret. Let everybody know. It's great news. And Father God, as we leave today, just bless us this week as we encounter others for you and help us lead others to you, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.